Some of you had a brain freeze there. If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message. Has your scripture looked up? You'll also find it up here on the screen as well. Before I read the scripture, I would like to just say a personal word, and that is each week I create my own PowerPoint slideshow. I do my own outline. And so if it's messed up, I have nobody to blame but myself. But when I'm out, Jane does the outline and sends it to Ashley, and she does the PowerPoint. Last week, you didn't have one. And the reason for that was, is Ken turned in his stuff weeks ago. Jane's mother's had surgery and has been in rehab, and she forgot to send it to Ashley. And a lot of times when this stuff doesn't show up like it's supposed to, folks turn around and look. Let me just say this. If the sound doesn't work, turning around looking doesn't make it work. Let me tell you what you do. If the sound's not working, the PowerPoint's not working, the video's not working, right there where you're at, just say, God, bless those people who push all of those buttons, that they'll know which buttons to push, and when they push them, they'll work. Okay? But thank God for those who assist us in worship by playing, by operating the sound, the lights, and the video. In Hebrews chapter 11, and beginning in verse 1, we read, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed as God's command. So then what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God." And then our focal verse for today is verse 6. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Let us pray. Lord God, may we please You in 2016. Lord, may You bless us as we earnestly trust and seek You. Speak to us, God, now through this message, for we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, I want to speak to you as a congregation. And then after I make a challenge to you, I want to share with you as individuals how each one of us can increase our faith. Because you see, as a congregation, we will not do anything of faith unless we as individuals are people of faith. Last year, I shared with you a challenge of how we needed a new sanctuary, that we didn't have adequate facilities for the number of people we had to do the purposes that God has set for us. And I made a challenge for you. I want to review some of that. I want to show you what some of this might look like. All of this here is just vision. None of this is concrete. Okay? So the first slide I want to show you is we sat down with a general contractor and we said, this here's what we think we need. All right? Here's a rendering of what part of that might look like. If you look right here, it's a top view looking down from one side. And here's the top view looking from the other side. All right. Then they have a color rendering of what it would look like from the front. You can see right here what it would look like from the front of the building. And here's what it would look like looking on the left-hand side of the elevation. For us to have a new sanctuary, though, several things are going to have to take place. Last year, I just threw out some what-ifs. Here's what last year's challenge looked like. If we build a 10,000-square-foot building, I was told we could build it for $80 a square foot, another $20 a square foot to furnish it, that would be $1 million. I said if we can raise in our building fund $400,000, and at that time we had $285,000, that would leave us a balance of $600,000. If we were able to get a 4% loan for 20 years, that would be a building payment of about $3,600-$3,700. Okay? We're currently paying ourselves $4,000 a month into our building fund. And so if that was our scenario, then this spring we could break ground on a new sanctuary. It would be something that we could afford, okay? All right, now that was the challenge last year. Well, guess what? We met that challenge. We exceeded that challenge. All right, but here's the new reality. Here's what the new reality is when we sat down and said to the contractor, this is what we need, it wasn't 10,000 square feet. It was 14,250 square feet. All right, so that means it's 42% bigger than what we thought we'd have to build. If you use the same figures, that means it's going to cost 42% more than we thought it was. But nonetheless, looking at it, the estimated cost of the lowest bid that we have, just doing the bare minimum, we're looking at $1,500,000. You see, there are some things that we just didn't factor in. Did you know you have to have a certain number of parking spaces according to the largest capacity of your building? And so if we build this building I just showed you, the government is going to make us put 110 new parking spaces. Well, guess how much it will cost us to pave the parking lot for 110 more spaces? That's $135,000. That has nothing to do with the building. That's just the parking the government will require. And then talking about building the building, just the pews for this building is $110,000. Okay? This is the new reality. So we're looking at a bare-bones minimum of $1,500,000. The good news is in our building fund, we don't have $400,000. Instead, we have $501,548. We're $100,000 ahead of where we wanted to be. Amen. But notice here what the new balance is. The new balance is $998,452. Okay, that's almost 50% more than what we thought we would need. All right? But then notice here, we're unable to get a 4% loan. The interest rates went up a couple of weeks ago, the first time in 7 years. Right now, the bank is saying the best we can get is 4.25%. For 20 years. If we borrowed $998,000 at 4.25% for 20 years, notice our payment's going to be $6,192. That's $2,500 more a month than we thought. Now, folks, this is just the building. This is not the utilities for our 14,000 square feet, okay? This is not cleaning it up and taking care of it. This is not the insurance. This is just the payment to the bank. If you have a house at home, you know that it takes more to keep up a house than just the house payment. All right? So next slide I want to show you is a comparison. If you compare last year to what we thought we could do to comparing to what actually it's going to take, what you're going to see is is all of this stuff adds up to mean that we have a greater challenge and a greater need than we thought we would. If you just pop all those up there for me, Jonathan. All right. So you can see over here on this side, this is what we thought. You see over this side, this is what it's going to be, bare minimum. Bare minimum, okay? So what are our options as a church family? Well, the way I see it, we have three options. Number one is we can just wait and save. That is, we won't build anything this year, we just wait. Here's the problem with that. Right now, we're paying ourselves $50,000 a year. To come up with $998,000 would take us 20 years to save up that much money. Okay? Not only that, but if you wait and save, let me ask you something. Does anybody think the interest rates are coming down? Does anybody think that the cost of the building is coming down? In other words, the interest rate's going to go up and the cost is going to go up. It's not going to ever cost less than it costs right now. All right, so that brings me to a second option. We can go ahead and build now and build something smaller. We build something smaller, what that's going to do is that's going to limit what we can do in the future. So what's one option is you can wait and save. Another option is build something smaller that costs less. But there's a third option. The third option is this. We can build now, we can conserve and save all we can, and we can trust God to do what we cannot do. I believe the only thing that honors God is faith. And so I'm going to ask you to consider this coming year to say, God, stretch our faith as a church. I'm going to ask you to say, God, stretch my faith as an individual. Because you know, see, the only way the church is going to have more faith is if you have more faith and I have more faith. Well, how can we get more faith? What does it look like to have more faith? It's not believing God can do it. The devil believes God can do it. Real faith is believing God's going to do it. And so I want to spend well, I got one more slide. What does the new challenge look like? All right? The first thing is, I want to challenge every ministry team in here in the coming year to spend as little as you can. In other words, if you have a budget in your ministry and it's $10,000 and you only spend $5,000 of it, we're going to take the $5,000 you didn't spend and we're going to transfer it to the building fund. So I'm saying if you're a ministry team leader, spend as little as you can. We will save as much as we can, and we will transfer over everything over 30 days operating expenses to our building fund. All right, that's the first challenge. The second challenge is we want to focus our fundraising activities for 1 year on our building. We're going to focus our activities on one building. Let me give you an example. At the end of February, we're going to have a Dale Upton concert. Right. Yeah. Okay? I mean, you know, Dale sing every once in a while, he'll sing a song. Well, we're going to have an all night of Dale, okay? We're going to have a concert. He's going to do it. We'll sell tickets. But guess what? All of the proceeds of that is going to the building fund, okay? And so what we want to do is we want to focus our building funds for 1 year. And by the way, I've even talked to our youth and children's minister. And you want me to tell you what the youth are going to do? This year they're going to camp because they've already raised the money last year. But next year they're going to have a camp here at the church. And they're going to take all the things they've been doing and it's going to go towards the building fund. See, we're going to put our focus for 1 year in meeting the needs of our church family. All right, and then next, I'm going to challenge you to do what I did last year, and that is we're going to have a harvest offering Sunday before. This past year, we had 131,000 offering. It's unbelievable. Well, I'm going to challenge you to start on it again. This is January. Start saving till then, and our goal will be at least 100,000. If we did 131 last year, we can do at least 100,000 this year. And by what we conserve, by what we give, and by what we raise this year, I hope we can put $250,000 in our building fund. That means we only have to borrow $750,000. And that means our building payment would only be $4,600 instead of $6,200. I want to tell you what my goal as a pastor is. My goal as a pastor is to help this congregation to build a new sanctuary, because actually this here is not a sanctuary. It's a fellowship hall and a gymnasium that we just worship in. But we want to build a sanctuary. And I want to get it built, and I want to get it paid for before I retire. That's my goal. You see, it's not my goal to build a big fancy building and go somewhere else and leave somebody else to pay for it. It's not my goal to build a fancy building and then turn around and strap my children and grandchildren for the next 20 years with a debt that I've created. Okay? And so that's the challenge. Now, we're not voting on anything today. We don't have anything in concrete. This is just a vision casting time. But here's what I want you to know. None of this stuff will take place without faith. Because, you see, it's not any use to build a sanctuary that seats 800 people if we don't believe God's going to keep saving folks. It's no use to build it if we don't believe that God's going to continue to grow the kingdom. It's no use to build it if we don't believe we can pay for it. You see, got to have faith. So today I want to talk to you about faith. What is faith? Number one, faith is believing when I don't see it. In verse 1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Are you certain of what you don't see? Are you confident that God will do what you hope for? Well, you see, that's what faith is all about. I remember 18 years ago, I met with the pastor search team, and when I talked with the pastor search team, I said, if God were to bless, are you willing to relocate? Now, I'm talking to the chairman of the pastor search team. She was 48 years old at the time. The church was 56 years old, so the church had always been where it had been for her entire life. And I'm asking her to believe a scenario that she has never seen, never imagined. But, you know, I'm looking at the situation. We have a half an acre of land. We have 24 parking spaces. We have a railroad track behind us, a road in front of us. Nowhere to expand. If God works and God moves, we're going to have to build new facilities and move. Now, folks, I saw that before I ever came the first day at Anthony Grove. You see, faith is believing something before you ever see it. You see, if you already see it, it doesn't require any faith. You see, Noah had faith when he started building an ark. He could see the flood before it ever came. Now, you see, it doesn't take any faith to believe in the ark after it's already built. Reminds me of these two boys, two brothers. They're outside playing. It's the end of the day, and one of them looks and says, you know, brother, when we started playing, the sun was way up here, and now it's way over there. The sun has moved from here to there. And his brother looked at him and he said, that's not true. You know, Father told us the sun doesn't move, it's the earth that moves. His brother looked at him and said, I don't care what Father said. When I started out, I saw the sun up there, I see the sun right there, and my feet are right here, and the earth has not moved. His brother looked at him and he said, I don't care what you saw, I don't care what you feel, I believe what Father said. Folks, that's why the world's choice is today. We can believe how we feel, we can believe what we see, or we can believe what God the Father has said. You want me to tell you what faith is? Believing what God has said, even when you don't see it, when you don't feel it. Secondly, faith is obeying when I don't understand it. In verse number 8, It was by faith that made Abraham obey when God called him to go out to a country which God had promised to give him. He left his own country without knowing where he was going. Abraham was 75 years old. He's going out to the mailbox looking for his Social Security check. And God calls him to social insecurity. What do I mean by that? Well, Abraham, I want you to go to a place. God, I ain't got where am I going? I'll tell you when you get there. Well, what's the name of the place? Well, I'll name it when you get there. You see, God was asking him to obey his instructions, even though they made no sense to Abraham at the time. I can remember that as a child. I can remember asking my mama, why? And I remember she would say something that would just make me so mad. She would say, because I said so. And one day, I guess I was about 13 or 14 years old, and I asked my mama why I had to do something. And she said, because I said so. And I remember looking at her and saying, when I become a parent, I will never say that to my child. God's got a sense of humor. He gives me an inquisitive first child. Why? Well, you know what? I'd answer every why I had. But I remember one day he was about 5 years old and he'd about whined me to death. And finally I just said, son, because I said so. And at that very moment, I said, oh my God, I sound like my mama. And then under my breath, I said, you know what? If my mother were living today, I'd go to her and apologize. You see, my mother had lived longer than I had. She knew some things about life that you can't learn by reading it in a book. She knew things that I didn't know. And there are sometimes I needed to do something just because she said to do it. There are times in our life that God will tell us to do things. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But you do it anyhow. Why? Because you have faith in the one that is telling you what to do. Number three, faith is giving when I don't have it. In verse 4, by faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks even though he is dead. Notice there that God spoke well of Abel's offering. Why did he speak well of his offering? He did so because Abel made his gift by faith, whereas Cain did not. I imagine that Cain brought his offering and he said, look what I did. And Abel brought his and says, God, look what you have enabled me to do. You see, giving when you have it doesn't take any faith at all. As a matter of fact, Paul commended the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up into rich generosity. I testify they gave as much as they were able, and then notice, and even beyond their ability entirely on their own. You remember the story in the Bible about the widow's mite? The widow gave two mites. Jesus said she put in more than all the others. I saw this happen a couple years ago here at Anthony Grove. We had a 40-day spiritual growth campaign. I had a group that I led, and at the end of our 40 days, we adopted a project to help a situation. The situation that our group chose on that Thursday to do was there was an abandoned wife. That is, there was a woman. Her husband had abandoned her with three children. She only had a part-time job, and she was struggling. And so what happened was, is our group came together and we gave an offering above our tithes and offerings at church just from our group. Some of them gave it there on Thursday. Some of them gave it on Sunday. On Monday morning, I went by this woman who has three small children, and I handed her seven $100 bills. She cried. And then she laughed. And then she just started praising God. She said, "Preacher, you won't believe what happened." She said, "I was at church yesterday, and the offering plate came around, and God told me to put in everything I had." She said, "I had $7 to my name." She said, "I put all $7 in the offering plate. Now, here's four mouths to feed. You only have $7. The offering plate comes around, and what do? You put in all $7 because why? God told you to do it. And in less than 24 hours, somebody shows up and gives you 100 times what you gave to God. Folks, you see, faith is not giving the scraps that are left over. Real faith is when God prompts you, you give what you don't have. Number four, faith is persisting when you don't feel like it. In verse 27, "It was by faith that Moses left Egypt and was not afraid of the king's anger. He held to his purpose like a man who could see the invisible." Folks, I'm telling you, if you serve God for any length of time, you're going to run into some hard places. You're going to run into some hard times. There'll be times when you just don't feel like serving God. You don't feel like honoring God. You don't feel like worshiping God. But real faith says, "I'm going to do it even if I don't feel like it." I love this definition of success. It says, "Successful people do what most people don't feel like doing." Successful people do what most people don't feel like doing. Let me tell you why we have some talented musicians up here. They practiced when they didn't feel like it. Let me tell you why some of us are not accomplished musicians. We didn't feel like it, so we didn't do it. Let me tell you what the difference between a regular salesperson and a super salesperson is. The super salesperson makes sales calls when they don't feel like it. A regular salesperson, "Well, I don't feel like it today, so I think I'm just going to stay in the office." But you see, real faith means I'm going to persist. I'm going to keep going even if I don't feel like it. Let me give you a formula for disaster. Only do in life what you feel like doing. You want me to give you a formula for immaturity? Only do what you feel like. Live your life off of your feelings, not off of your commitments. And you'll be an immature, whiny person your whole life. You see, you only accomplish the impossible when you keep your eyes on the invisible. How was Abraham able to do it? How was Moses able to do it? They kept their eye on the Lord Jesus Christ, that which they could not see. Number five, faith is thanking God before I receive it. In Hebrews 11:30, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. All right, now think about it. These people have been slaves for 400 years. God delivers them. And the first place they run into when they cross over is Jericho. Jericho at that time was the most fortified city anywhere around them. These people have been slaves. They're not soldiers. And here's the first place. It's a huge fortified city. What are we going to do? All right, God said, "I want you to march around it every day for 6 days." Say, "March around it." All right, on the seventh day, "I want you to march around it 7 times. And when you do, the walls are going to fall down and you're going to have a great victory." Now, how many of you think that's a recipe for success? Well, what did they do? Well, the Bible doesn't say. I'm going to tell you what I think they did. I think they're marching around there and they say, woohoo, in 6 more days the wall's going to come tumbling down. And the next day they get out there and march around, woo, oh man, 5 more days the wall's going to come down. We're going to have victory. And one of these days we'll find ourselves in the Bible and the people in Krauss will be reading about us. Now, they probably didn't say that part. But here's what I want you to know. I think they marched around there every day thanking God for the victory that God was going to give before the victory ever took place. In Mark chapter 11, verse 20, it says, early the next morning as they walked along the road, they saw the fig tree. It was dead all the way down to its roots. Let me tell you what happened the afternoon before. Jesus went by and he was looking for some fruit. And there wasn't any fruit on it, so you know what? He cursed it. And the next day it was dead. I mean, it was full of leaves and all green. The next morning it was as dead as a rock. And what they understood was, is that God had spoken it. And when he spoke it, it became a reality before they ever saw it. You see, all God has to do is just speak it. Now let me ask you something here, Robbie. If I were to write you a check for $10,000, would you thank me before you cashed it? Not if you knew what was in my bank account you would. But let me turn around. Let's say Donald Trump, 10 billionaire. If he wrote you a check for $10,000, would you thank him before you cashed it? We say he would never miss it. Trump would never miss it. Dennis doesn't have it, okay? And here's my point is God has it all. God owns it all. And you can thank him before you ever go to the bank because God owns it all. Thank him for that blessing before you ever receive it. You're praying for your children, thank God they're going to get right with God before you ever see it. You're having a struggle in your marriage, thank God he's going to heal it before it ever happens. You see, it takes faith to thank God for something you hadn't got yet. And then the last thing I want to share with you, and this may be the greatest struggle to faith, and that is faith is trusting God even if I don't get it. I'm going to ask God to do something, and I'm going to die before it happens. But I'm still going to trust God anyway. In Hebrews 11, verse 39, and these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. You see, some of the people in the Bible, they trusted God and they had their heads cut off. They trusted God and they were sewn in half inside the temple. But they still trusted God, even though they didn't get what they asked for in their lifetime. My brother Ronnie is sitting here today. I want you to know for 30 years, my dad prayed for my brother. My dad died 18 years ago this month. He never saw my brother get right with God. I didn't come to Anthony Grove till 4 months after my dad had died. He'd never heard of Anthony Grove. Listen, when my dad died, I'd never heard of Anthony Grove. But let me tell you what, God, he was trusting God, and even though he didn't receive it in his lifetime, God answered his prayer because one day my brother came to this church, he got saved, and I got to baptize my brother. You see, what faith is trusting God even when you don't get it. Let me give you an example from history. In 1963, Martin Luther King made a speech in Washington, D.C., where he said, I have a dream, and it was about racial equality. The next year, Martin Luther King was murdered. He never saw the dream accomplished in his lifetime. But can I tell you, he saw the dream. Even though he didn't get it, he saw it. You see, 38 years later, Colin Powell became the first African-American Secretary of State. And 45 years after Martin Luther King made his speech, America elected its first black president. You see, Martin Luther King had faith in something that he never saw take place in his lifetime. Faith is trusting God. Even when I don't get it, in this lifetime, I'm still trusting God. I want to close by telling you a true story. To me, that demonstrates what having faith is all about. Dr. John Bassanio was a pastor for many years in Texas. One day he was in his study at home reading a book, and his five-year-old daughter, Melody, came in and said, "Dad, will you build me a dollhouse?" He said, "Yeah, honey." He said, "Now, Dad, do you promise you build me a dollhouse?" He said, "Yeah, I promise you I'll build one." And so she runs on off. He goes back to reading his book. Hears some commotion outside his window. He looks out there, and there's his five-year-old daughter. And she's stacking up dishes and toys and dolls outside. He goes to ask his wife. He said, "What's Melody doing?" He said, "What do you mean, what's she doing? She asked you to build her a dollhouse. And you promised, and she believed you. And now she's getting everything ready because she trusts you." John Bassanio said, "It was like a bomb went off in me." He said, "I got up, I threw that book down, I raced down to the lumber yard, I bought the lumber." He said, "I come back," and he said, "I built her a dollhouse in the backyard right then." He said, "Did I do it because I felt like it?" He said, "No." "Did I do it because she deserved it?" "No." He said, "Let me tell you why I did it. Because I made her a promise. I gave her my word. And she believed it. And she acted on it. And nothing was going to prevent me from keeping my promise to my little girl." Folks, let me tell you what faith is. God's made you a promise. You take God at His promise. You believe God at His promise. You start getting things ready because you believe God will not be prevented from doing what He has promised He would do in your life. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Nobody's looking around. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith, simply put, is as God says it, you believe it, and act on it. My question to you this morning is what is God saying to you? What is God asking you to trust Him with? It might be with your health. It might be with your finances. It might be with your family. It might be with your marriage. It might be with your children. What is God asking you to trust Him with? Let me remind you this morning, faith is believing when you don't see it. Faith is obeying God when you don't understand it. Faith is giving when you don't have it. Faith is persisting when you don't feel like it. Faith is thanking God before you receive it. And faith is trusting God even if you don't get it. If you want to have the best 2016 you can have, you're going to have to please God. And the only way to please God is with faith. In a moment, and when we sing, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat, walk down this aisle, and make a commitment to please God, to follow God, to trust God. Heavenly Father, Lord, You knew everybody that was going to be here today. God, You know what's going on in their life. And I pray, Lord, that right now You would speak to every heart. And God, as You speak, that they would hear. And God, as they hear, they would act and believe. That they would have faith in what You speak to them. Lead us now, God. Give us faith to step out and to trust You. In Jesus' name, amen.